World Sport from the BBC with me, Hugh Ferris. Coming up, FIFA demands to know what happened as more than 70 football fans are killed at a Premier League match in Egypt. England's prepare for the third test against Pakistan. And Angelo Dundee, who helped train Muhammad Ali, has died in Florida at the age of 90. Football's world governing body, FIFA, has asked the Egyptian authorities for a full report on the incidents that led to more than 70 deaths at an Egyptian Premier League football match on Wednesday night in Port Said. The BBC's Chris Mitchell reports on the fallout from the violence that unfolded at the end of the match between Al Ahly and Al Nasri.
Various claims have been made as to what caused the violence at the Premier League match in Egypt on Wednesday night. Some saying that security forces didn't do enough to intervene. Others that politics was behind the trouble. Whatever the truth may be, FIFA, football's world governing body, wants to know. They've asked the Egyptian authorities to explain exactly what happened. In a statement, they say, FIFA has asked the Egyptian authorities for a full report on the incidents in order to evaluate what happened. And in a letter to the Egyptian Football Association, the FIFA president, Sepp Blatter, has offered his support. Today is a black day for football, and we must take steps to ensure that such a catastrophe never happens again. Football is a force for good, and we must not allow it to be abused by those who mean evil. I await further news from you concerning the circumstances of this tragedy. The president of the Confederation of African Football, Issa Hayatou, has said that African football is in a state of mourning. And the South African Football Association vice president, who's a member of the Cup of Nations organising committee, Danny Jordan, has told the BBC that it was a sad time for the game on the continent.
I couldn't believe what I saw on the TV. Of course, the first thing one must do is to express sympathy and support for those who lost their lives. Football for me is never about death, it's about the celebration of life, and people go to a football match and then brings an end to their life, then always it's very, very sad. So yeah, it was a sad moment for African football.
As a consequence of the events that unfolded in Port Said, the Egyptian government have sacked the entire board of the Egyptian Football Federation. That, however, could cause it to come into conflict with FIFA, who, in the past, have banned countries where governments interfere with a nation's football organisation. Our African football expert Matthew Kenyon says that's one of a number of problems now facing the game in Egypt.
It's going to be very hard to see how Egyptian football does pick itself up from here. In some ways, this is another stage on the very difficult journey that they have been taking since the events of the revolution, which has been continuing. I was in Egypt last October for one of their qualifying games for the Nations Cup when they played South Africa. And football had been suspended for a very long time because of problems and violence at matches. And it wasn't just in Egypt, it was also in Tunisia as well. So there have been problems, there have been concerns about security situations, and where Egyptian football goes from here, clearly no one can tell because they don't know where the country is going from here.
As the recriminations and analysis of what happened in Egypt goes on, Africa is looking ahead to the quarterfinals of the Africa Cup of Nations. One of the key ties, the favourites, the Ivory Coast, playing the co-hosts, Equatorial Guinea. Equatorial Guinea's captain, Juvenal, says events like those in Port Said have no place in football.
Well, it's difficult, it's a tragedy. Football isn't a sport, it's no more. For the players, it's a surprise to see these situations. I'm sure this tragedy here in Malabo is impossible. The people loves the national team, the people enjoy the game, the people goes to the stadium to enjoy the show. Our people enjoy the party, enjoy the show, but I'm sure that this tragedy here, it's impossible. I hope this tragedy is no more, never.
Before those quarterfinal matches take place in Gabon and Equatorial Guinea, a minute silence will be held in Gabon and Equatorial Guinea. A minute silence will be held as a mark of respect for those who were killed.
The BBC's Chris Mitchell reporting. You're listening to a roundup of world sports on the BBC. Here in England, the Queen's Park Rangers manager Mark Hughes has questioned the decision to hold John Terry's court case after the European Football Championships. The Crown Prosecution Service set the trial date for the case involving the England captain and QPR defender Anton Ferdinand for the 9th of July, a week after the Euro 2012 final. Terry's been charged with racially abusing Ferdinand. Hughes says the timing of the trial is not the best.
He will be doing the case during his downtime, his summer break. Unfortunately, given the timing of it from our point of view and Anton's point of view, that will be slap bang in the middle of our pre-season preparation. So it's not ideal from our point of view, and it seems to be that we haven't really been informed or actually involved in the process to come up with a date. It seems to be that it's been done with for the benefit of John or maybe the FA.
Staying with football, and Everton's new signing Nikita Jelovic has been speaking to the media for the first time since his move from Scottish club Rangers. The Croatian was the Scottish Premier League's top scorer this season with 17 goals, but he says he's not feeling the pressure to do the same for his new club in England's top flight.
No, it's not the pressure. I only look like a challenge, you know. I scored in Vienna, scored in Rangers with Rangers, so I can score here as well, you know. And I look, I have my way and my style as well, and I look only that like a challenge. I don't want to put any pressure on myself with some numbers, you know.
To cricket on the BBC World Service, and England are under pressure to win the final test match against Pakistan, which starts on Friday. England, the number one side in the world, have already lost the three-match series, but are fighting to retain their status as the best in test cricket. The BBC's cricket correspondent Jonathan Agnew reports.
The rubber itself might be dead, but there should be many reasons to motivate England's cricketers in this final test. Not least, the batsmen have to prove that they've learnt something from this chastening experience. With tours in Sri Lanka and India to come this year, there's no place for anyone whose confidence in these conditions is shot, and with no sign of being able to bounce back. Morgan, Bell, Peterson, even Strauss himself have question marks against their names. The balance will be fascinating. The four bowlers did a fine job last week, and with the feeling that Pakistan's batting is also vulnerable, a fifth might not be required, but Morgan's place must be in jeopardy.
Angelo Dundee, who helped train Muhammad Ali, has died in Florida at the age of 90. His name was synonymous with Ali's, but he worked with 15 world champions, including Sugar Ray Leonard and George Foreman. Dundee last spoke to the BBC just a couple of weeks ago after attending Ali's 70th birthday party.
I really had a great time visiting my friend on his birthday. You know, I always like to go around these young kids' birthdays.
What did he say to you?
Nothing, just, you know, what would he say? He lights up because we see each other. We've been seeing each other for, 54 years, so I think we like each other a little bit.
When you met him first, and he was a kid coming to your gym, what did you see in him? What was different about him?
Well, I actually met him in Louisville, Kentucky, when I had Willie Pastrano fighting Alonzo Johnson. Got a call from the lobby, and he says, "My name is Cassius Marcellus Clay, the little glove champ of Louisville, Kentucky. I won the gloves in Chicago. I won the gloves in Seattle. I'm going to be the next Olympic champion." He was the first guy in the gym, the last guy to leave. He liked, the gymnasium was like a stage. And he'd been that way his whole life. I never had 1 minute of trouble with him. I had a lot of fun with him. And how about Ray Leonard taking up where Muhammad left off? So I'm a very happy man, a very proud man that I was able to work with those kind of talents. And how about George Foreman coming back? And Lou Angelo was working with George. So, you know, I've had a lot of fun in my life, and I'm still working. I got a kid who's going to go to the Olympics. His name is Demetrius Jones. Check that name out, because I think he can win the whole thing.
Angelo Dundee. And that's the latest world sports